grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Good morning, everyone. It's always our greatest privilege to gather together as God's people, to share fellowship one with another, and to wait upon God's word for us on this day as we seek to go forward faithfully. So it's a real joy to see you all gathered here this morning, and also to extend a warm welcome to any visitors who are with us. And if you have time before you leave, tea and coffee will be served in the large hall afterwards. But let's now worship God together as we sing, O God, You are my God alone.
I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence and we lift up our eyes to you, for your throne is in heaven. You are the Lord of all, the great creator of all things, and you are the God who has called us to yourself that we might know you and love you, that we may enter into your salvation, that we may know the Lord Jesus Christ, our great Savior and Redeemer. So our eyes look to the Lord our God. Heavenly Father, awaken in us this morning the realization of your presence. Fill us with wonder at your great grace, and give to us your blessing that we may see the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for him, and we thank you that he is the Lord who promised to be with his worshipping people. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Father, we come from the busyness of our daily lives, and we come seeking his presence. O Lord, give to each one of us grace that we may see him and adore him. Heavenly Father, bless us with the presence of Christ. And gracious Father, we thank you for this special day. We thank you that the children are with us again and Sunday Club is started afresh. And Father, we thank you for that, and we ask your blessing to be with each child here this morning. And as we commission our Sunday Club teachers, we pray, gracious Father, that they will have a very special sense of your presence. We thank you for their ministry, for their faithfulness, for the love that they have to your little ones. And we pray that you will bless them and help them and give to them joy in their service. Heavenly Father, draw us all together that we may be one people with one mind and with one heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as your gathered people, we bring those words which the Lord Jesus gave his people to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. Can I start by just saying thank you to you? Because remember last week I asked you to keep a secret. Remember what we'd bought the boys for their birthdays, and apparently nobody was in touch with them to tell them what we'd bought for them. So I'm very, very pleased that you kept your promise. Can I ask you something this morning, though? I mean, I told you a secret last week. I wonder if any of you can share this with me. Have you ever been lost? Hands up if you've ever been lost. Why am I not surprised, Murdo? And Sam is, you get lost. And a few, but none of, the message here is that as you get older, you're more inclined to get lost. Is that right? I mean, this is not good, you folk in the Bible class. But never mind, sometimes you get lost and it feels, you know, it's a strange feeling because not long ago I got lost. Now, in my own defense, I got on a train and it said it was going to Mulgay. Hands up if you ever got on a train that was going to Mulgay. Right, quite a lot of people, hands down. As soon as the train started to move, the man came on the sound system and said, actually folks, we are going to Garskadden. And this train will terminate. I mean, what does terminate mean? Well, it means it's going to stop. It's going to come to... I mean, if Arnold Schwarzenegger says he's going to terminate you, that's pretty dire stuff, isn't it? And I was a bit frightened. So we went... The train went to... And it didn't stop anywhere else. And it went to Garskadden. And we were just left. Now, I'm sure Garskadden's a nice place. And I'm sure the people are nice. But I'd never been there before. Hands up if you've been to Garskadden. All right, fair enough, that's fine. So, just for a moment, I was totally lost until, well, there were people around and I was able to find out that I could do this, that and the next thing and get home. That's fine. But it reminded me of the day when Jesus got lost. I'm sure you know this story. I think he was 12 at the time. And, well, his family thought he was lost. They were all up in Jerusalem for a big celebration. And they were with family and friends. And they were coming away from Jerusalem. And they noticed that Jesus wasn't amongst the company. So they started to search for him. He wasn't there. And Mary and Joseph, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him. And they looked for him for 3 days. Imagine not knowing where he was for 3 days. But then they found him eventually. Can somebody tell me where he was? Yes. He was in the temple in Jerusalem, which was like a big church. And what he was doing in the temple was he was sitting, listening to the men who used to teach people the Bible. He was sitting, listening to them, and he was asking questions, and he was showing an understanding of everything that was going on, which really surprised everybody. And you know, at the beginning of a Sunday club session, that's a picture that I've got in my mind for each and every one of you. That you'll be listening this year to everything that your teachers have to share with you about Jesus and how Jesus wants us to live our lives. So I'll be praying for that. And I want you to pray for something. I want you to pray for your teachers because they need help. If they're going to be able to teach about Jesus and to teach how Jesus wants us to live our lives. You know, there was a man in the Bible, his name was Paul. He was a great man. And he was really good at explaining to people about Jesus and how much he loved us and all he had done for us. But, you know, he once wrote to a lot of Christian friends and he said to them, please pray for me. Pray for me when I'm teaching so that people will understand more about Jesus. And I want you to pray for your teachers, just as we pray for you. And we're going to start that this morning. This is what we do at this time of the year. I ask all your teachers to stand up, and when everyone sees them, we are going to pray for them and promise to pray for them all through the year. Now, Janice has put this in big print so that I could even read it without my glasses. But I'll keep them on for the moment. And I'm going to ask Sharon Barlow to stand, please. And Richard Bates. And Alison Bates. And Roxanne Boyd. And Gabrielle Buchanan. And Agnes Galloway. And Carol Gibson. And Janice McLean. And Anne's not here with us. We'll remember Anne in the hospital at the moment. Mary McCready, who is here. And Sheila Robertson. And Sue Rawlings, and Neil Rawlings, and Deborah Stark, and Stephen Toms, Marlon Ewer, and Nimi Whitelaw. There they are. They are your teachers. Get them firmly fixed in your minds, but also in your hearts. And remember to pray for them. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we give thanks to you for the story of Jesus, how it's been preserved for us down through the generations, and how your Holy Spirit can bring it alive and enable us to understand more of your love. And we pray for our Sunday club teachers at this time and those who will be teaching in the Bible class also, and pray that you would give them time for preparation, that you would clarify their thinking, warm their hearts, and enable them to bring the truths of the gospel to our children gathered here today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sit down. And we're going to sing together now your hymn, which, you know, I haven't sung this for such a long time. And the words might be a wee bit different, but I'm sure we'll all be able to join together to sing this from our hearts. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Before we come to listen to God's word to us this morning, we're going to sing our prayer of understanding, which is, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, overflowing with love. And we'll sing this sitting down. The first Bible reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms, and we're reading Psalm 37, looking at verses 1 through to 11. And that can be found on page 563 of the Pew Bible. Psalm 37, verses 1 through to 11. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. And our second reading comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. And we're looking at chapter 9, verses 35 through to 38. And that can be found on page 974. That's Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." May God bless to us these readings from his holy word. We'll respond now to God's word by singing our next hymn, which is hymn 394, "He Came to Earth Not to Be Served."
Now let us pray. God our Father, we remember Jesus as a child waiting upon your word. We remember Jesus as a young man attending the synagogue, Sabbath by Sabbath, waiting on your word. And we pray that today, as we seek to draw near to your truth, that that truth will take root in our hearts, clarify our vision, warm our hearts, and enable us to be the people that you want us to be. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how much of this I can take. I don't know how much more of this I can take. It's all right. I'm just wondering if you've ever said that. I'm just wondering if you've ever heard somebody saying that. It comes to us in moments when there's so much negative experience going on, so much that seems to be going wrong, that we're just threatened to be completely overwhelmed. Our inner resources are at their limit. We literally don't know how we're going to get through this flood of setbacks and misfortunes. But if you've ever felt like that, and I'm sure I'm not standing alone in that experience this morning. If you've ever felt like that, then you'll have something in common with so many of the people that we meet in Scripture, not least the man whose psalm, or part of whose psalm we read earlier, David. I suppose that there's no one in the Bible who reveals more of his inner life than David does, especially in the Psalms. And there's absolutely no doubt when you read the Psalms and when you consider some of the experiences that David had to go through, that he knew exactly what it was like to feel that everything round about him was just collapsing. But always, and we see this in the Psalms, always he turned to his God in those moments. And he was able to work himself through the worst of times. So he's a good companion for us whenever we're up against it. He's a good companion for us as we're seeking to get through what we might describe as our worst of times. David never gave up on God. That's the message of his life in a nutshell. He never gave up. Whenever things were threatening to destabilize them, to wipe out his faith, he always found a way forward when he turned to God. And that's because he had some unshakable convictions with regard to his God. And these come out very clearly, even in the short portion that we read from Psalm 37. And the first thing that David was convinced of in relation to God was that he's trustworthy. He's trustworthy. David tells us in verse 3 of the psalm, or he calls upon us in verse 3 by saying, "Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord." It's as simple as that. And David was able to say that because he knew the story of the God of Israel. From the time when he was very young, he was told about this God who cared for his people. And the proof of that was seen in spectacular measure in the story of the Exodus. When God enabled his people who had been slaves for decades to be delivered from this slavery and to journey towards the land that God had prepared for them. And as anyone meditated upon this story, then they would see that this God of Israel was a God of love. That he was a God of power. And that he was a God of justice. And it was this vision of God that took root in David's heart. And so he was able to say to all those who would listen, "This is a God in whom we can trust. Trust in this Lord." And so it was that when David came to that moment when his country Israel was at war with the Philistines, and he was too young to fight in the army, but his father Jesse sent him to the front line with provisions, with supplies for his brothers who were in the army. And David arrives at the front line. And he finds the whole army of Israel is shaking in their shoes. They're parked on one hilltop. The Philistines are parked on another hilltop. There's a valley in between. And every morning and every evening, this giant of a man, covered in armor, armed to the teeth, he clanks down into the valley and he shouts abuse at Israel and challenges the army of Israel to send their champion down here and we'll sort out this issue once and for all. "Come and have a go if you think you're hard enough," says Goliath. And the army are shaking in their shoes. And David can't believe it. He can't believe it. He says, "This is the army of the living God. The God of love, the God of power, the God of justice. and you're frightened of this Philistine. And David, with only his staff and his sling and 5 smooth stones from the stream, goes down into the valley to face the giant. And as he goes, he's the picture of faith. I trust in him. I trust in him. When I've been out in the wilderness, protecting my sheep, God has delivered me from the paw of the bear. He's delivered me from the paw of the lion. And he will deliver me from this big lunk of a Philistine. He's the picture of faith. Everything about David in that moment says, I trust in him. And the Apostle Paul, hundreds of years later, he didn't know about arm-to-arm conflict, but boy, he knew about conflict. Under pressure from the religious authorities of his day, under pressure from the state, under pressure in the church from people who were seeking to undermine the gospel, and under pressure within himself, knowing that he wasn't everything that God wanted him to be, Paul knew about conflict. But he said to one Christian community, you know, I found the secret of being content. I found the secret of being content. Whether I'm well fed or hungry, whether I'm in prison or free, whether it's up or down, light or dark, I can cope. I can cope because of the strength of my God. I trust in him. And David, sharing that conviction of his faith in God, goes a bit further and tells us of another conviction. A conviction on the ways of God. His ways are good. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, that might be something that your mum and dad might have said to you. It comes over as maybe a bit flat. A platitude. And there's this whole business about what is good. Rather like the debate that's going on just now about truth. What is truth? What is good? People have differing opinions about what is good, but David is quite clear what is good. And what is good is the way of the Lord. He says that quite clearly in the psalm. We stand in need, each one of us, of committing ourselves to the way of the Lord. There were other ways around. Other people had their ideas of what is good. But David doesn't hold back. He said, you know, these people that would take you away from the ways of God, they're just downright evil. And the problem is that when you look out on the world, says David, you see that they're flourishing. You see that they're achieving great things in the eyes of the world. They're working out their wicked schemes. And perhaps finding satisfaction in that. But David says, I believe that there is a way of the Lord. I believe that it's possible for us to do good, and that is good in the sight of God. And it's down to us to commit ourselves to that way. And to believe that in the end, that good will prevail over anything else. He says there will come a day when the meek will inherit the earth. Later on in the psalm, he says there's always a future for those who will work for peace according to the ways of God. He says in verse 4, so no matter what's happening in the world at large, and no matter how you might see evil and wickedness flourish, you delight yourself in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. It's down to us to delight ourselves in the way of the Lord. You know, there was a significant speech made 2 years ago. It was during the presidential campaign in the United States. It was the Democratic Convention, and Michelle Obama took the stand. And she spoke about the pressures on her family over the last 8 years, her children having to listen to people saying bad things about their father, having to listen to some of the hateful rhetoric that was going on during the presidential campaign, having to open themselves to the possibility that bullying was going to win the day. But she said, what we always say to our girls is that we should never allow ourselves to be brought down to that level. When they go low, she said, we go high. When they go low, we go high. Somebody remarked that Barack Obama might be the most notable public speaker in living memory, but he's only the second best in his own family. Some of us have to get used to our wives overshadowing us in a lot of areas. But what a phrase. What a slogan, and I'm not really that keen on slogans. When they go low, we go high. And that's what David is saying. Fret. It happens when we see the way things are going. When we see how the darkness can deepen within the church as well as in society at large. But it's down to us to do good, to commit our way to the Lord. And when they go low, we go high. And you think of Jesus, even when he was on the cross. You know, he's our example there. Actually praying that God would forgive the people that were torturing him. They went low, but he went high. Promising eternal life to a thief who had been abusing him, but then saw something in Jesus that he needed. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He went low, but Jesus went high. And in the depth of the mental, physical, spiritual darkness that he was going through, he sees his mother and makes provision for her future care with the Apostle John. They might have gone low. Jesus always went high. And that's the way for us to go, friends. It's important for us to go that way because of another conviction that David has in this psalm, and it's that God has a purpose for us as his people. And David leaves this with us. He's convinced about his purpose for each and every one of us. He says in verses 5 and 6, he says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn. He will make the justice of your cause shine like the noonday sun. God sees us as a people who will shine with his righteousness. God sees us as a people who will shine as we embrace his cause in the world. You know, it was lovely to sing, Jesus loves me. Even maybe though the words have changed. But I was reminded of another hymn that we used to sing, and it's not in the hymn book any longer. But do you remember, Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light. And you know, sometimes the most profound truths can be simplified to that extent. This is what Jesus is longing for his people today, that we will shine with his righteousness, that we will embrace his cause, a cause that the darkness will never master. And that's God's purpose. That we become witnesses to everything that Jesus is. And we're given some practical instruction as to how we can realize that. Because, you know, this has become something like a personal mantra, if I can borrow a term from another religion. But it's close to my heart. It has been over the years, that verse that says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Don't fret. That's where we begin to shine. When we acknowledge our God, when we learn to trust in him, when we commit our ways to him, and when we believe that in the end his cause will not fail. You know, I once read somewhere, somebody said, optimism may be naive, but pessimism is atheistic. Optimism may be naive, but pessimism, that's atheistic, because God has his plans. It's part of that plan that we reflect his righteousness, that we embrace his cause. God wants to do great things through his people. You know, there was an interview in one of the papers just recently with a guy called Khaled Hosseini. I don't know if you've heard of him. He wrote this book, The Kite Runner. He's an Afghani writer. It was made into a movie, the book. Now, he's been made an ambassador, a UN goodwill ambassador to immigrant people. You know, these people who pile into rubber boats to get away from governments that have no eye on their welfare at all. You know, they're coming from Syria, from Afghanistan, from Eritrea, from Liberia. All these people handing over their life savings to cross the Mediterranean in a rubber boat. And we know that so many of them have capsized and lives have been lost. Hosseini has been going amongst these people, but he's also been talking to people like the Italian Coast Guard, who have to go out sometimes and try and retrieve people from the water. And very often it's dead bodies of babies and children. Mothers still embracing their children. And he was speaking to this man, his name is Luigi Datilo, one of the coast guards. And he rather, in his own words, he rather lamely said to Luigi, "You've got a hard job." And Luigi turns round to Husseini and he said to him, "Human life is precious. I wake up every morning knowing I might save a few. So you see, I have the most beautiful job in the world. I wake up every morning knowing I might save a few," he says. And you know, I believe that our God wants that optimism to shine in us every morning when we wake up, to think that today the righteousness of God might shine in me. Today when I wake up, the cause of the kingdom of God might be advanced through me. And if that sounds outrageous, all I've got to say to you is, God has promised that His righteousness will shine through us. God has promised that through us, His kingdom will be advanced. So trust in Him. Commit your life to His way and shine like the noonday sun. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that as Your word took root in the lives of David and the lives of Paul and the apostles and so many faithful people down through the ages, that it will take root in our hearts. That quite simply we will learn to trust You more. That we will see the goodness in Your ways. And that through us, You will build Your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together now, friends. Lord, make us servants of Your peace. Let us pray. God, our Father, we thank You that You have touched us with the wonder and the majesty of Your being and what the choir have shared with us in this moment. We thank You that You are the great Ancient of Days, the one who was established before the universe came into being, the one who holds together life as we experience it here on earth. And we pray that today we would renew our commitment to You as the one who cares for His people. The one who feels for His people. The one whose justice He will reveal through His people. Lord, we draw near and in the power of Your Spirit and by Your grace, we lay our lives before You now as those who wish to go forward in Your ways. To be the light that You wish us to be in the midst of our world. We thank you today for those who've gone before us, who have modeled faith for us, who have shown us something of Christ in their lives, and who are now at rest. We pray, O Lord, that in the end you will reunite us with them as they continue to serve you in your kingdom. We pray for your church throughout the world at this moment. And in this weekend, which sees the visit of Pope Francis to the Republic of Ireland, we pray for all traditions of God's people. And pray, Lord, that as we make our way forwards in faith, that we will be drawn more closely together in the things that we share, so that we are not seen to fail to deliver the truths which from all times have firmly stood and shall from age to age endure. We pray that you would give strength to all people throughout the world at this time who have a special mission amongst the suffering of the earth. Those who need to respond to disasters. Those who need to bring medical aid in impoverished countries. Those who have difficulty making their voices heard against injustice and cruelty. Bless them with your strength. We pray for our own land at this time, giving thanks for those who have dedicated their lives to public service, and praying that you would give them what resources are needed for their work day by day. But Lord, open their minds to your ways. Fill their hearts with your peace. Enable them to know your wisdom. And Lord, we come to you as a people who are aware of the brokenness of so many lives. Perhaps within our family circle, amongst our neighbours and friends. And we remember how people would often bring people to Jesus, that he might touch them, that he might give them relief from their torment and their pain, their anxiety. And we hold in our hearts today people who are close to us, who need a strength beyond their own strength and a peace that passes all understanding. And we pray for one another gathered here and ask, Lord, that we will emerge from this time of worship refreshed in our minds, strengthened in our spirits, and more willing to be the people that you want us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fergus, many of you remember back in April that we marked 30 years of preaching here in St. Paul's by Fergus Buchanan. A number of people spoke to me after the service and said they'd like to contribute a gift to Fergus to mark that occasion. And it's my great pleasure this morning to give this cheque to Fergus with the blessing of the congregation and for hoping for many years' work here in St. Paul's. Fergus, cheque.
Okay. Thank you.
Continually making me feel embarrassed and bereft of words, but I can assure you, what's your name again? Graham. Aye, Graham. I can assure you, Graham, that the gift really has been for me to be your minister over such a long period of time. I'm grateful to God and grateful to God's people who have been so good to me and so good to my family. I was just a wee bit troubled today when I went into the vestry and Lindsay was there and Graham was explaining what was going to be happening. And she said, you know, I was only 10 when you came here. But that's me giving away one of her secrets. I'm just grateful to you all, and I'm trusting in God for the future. Thanks. Let's sing together now. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Now may you go in peace to work in faith to advance God's kingdom in our midst, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore.